Yeah, buddy.
But these uniforms are so expensive, and now they want to put out a new one every year. Now, of course, you know, I watch Raider fans. They love their jerseys, their players, and all that stuff. It's like, can you imagine? They're putting a new uniform out every year. That's just, bonkers. But anyway, all right, we are going out now to our Western New York bureau. That's right.
Uh-oh.
To our good friend Evan Grote from Just Pod Baby. You can subscribe to that podcast anywhere where you get your podcast. Evan, what do you think, man? A new uniform every year?
You know, I'm always in the belief that you've got to look good to feel good to play good. So I totally understand.
Oh, nobody says they're going to look good. Have you seen the Rams uniforms?
Well, they're trying. Man.
The old school look is the best look, period. The Eric Dickerson, Jerome Bettis, those looks, just leave it like that. You're good. Just like the Raiders got their look.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
Yeah, I agree. In fact, I loved the Raiders uniforms against the Chargers with the silver numbers, although I know the media hates them because they're hard to see from up in the press box. But yeah, those look really cool. I just like the silver. Mm-hmm. The silver.
Speaking
look.
Of uniforms, I'm a big uniform guy. That's part of the reason why I became a Raiders fan when I was a young kid. I was attracted to the silver and black, you know, the logo on the helmet. So, you know, that's important to me.
And, you know, the Raiders uniform, because it hasn't changed, and the helmets have changed over the years several times, right? The color, did you know that? The dye that they use in the silver?
Mm-hmm.
If you ever read that story, it's a pretty cool story. But overall, the jerseys, that has not changed, okay? And so that classic look, it's very simple. You know, there's nothing crazy about the Raiders. It's just silver and black, and that's what makes it so nice. It's like it's sort of like the Yankees pinstripes in the simple NY. It doesn't change. The only classic, quote unquote, classic uniform which I think looks like crap is Penn State.
Really?
Yeah, I don't
How
like
does
Penn State.
Look looks like crap.
Looks like they just took out of the box.
Ah, man, that's simple and clean. Sometimes simple's better, man.
Oh, I'm
not
like,
more.
It's like Air Force Ones back in the day, man. Coke white. Simple, yeah, clean.
All white. All nice and clean and ready to go. All right, let's get back to Raider football. Okay, so Evan, we're at the midseason mark. The Raiders sit at 5-3, a nice record, and they appear, you know, if they, as Q said it yesterday, all they got to do is do in the second half what they did in the first half, and they're in the playoffs. Tell me what you think right now, kind of your overall analysis of where this team is after the first 8 games versus maybe where you thought it could be.
Well, I think they're in a great position. I think they've really set themselves up nicely to make a run at the playoffs, and I'm very happy where they are at 5-3 right now. And they've beaten two really good teams, the Saints and the Chiefs. The Saints are the number one seed in the NFC right now. I'm not sure if people are aware of that, and we know how good the Chiefs are. And they were able to weather the storm early on in the season. A lot of people thought, man, can they manage the beginning part of this season? They were able to do so, and they did it with some injuries along the offensive line and at the wide receiver position, and also had some injuries to the defense. But for me, the big question going into the second half of the season, can they finish? You know, that's going to be the big question. They were 6-4 last year as well after week 11, and we know that they finished 1-5. That can't happen again. Now, the schedule lines up nicely with 2 games against Denver. They'll play the Chargers again, the Falcons, and the Jets. The records on these teams are not very good, but these are games they must take care of business in, and if they can do so, no doubt they should find themselves in the playoffs.
Evan, what's your thoughts on Corey Littleton? I mean, he hasn't been playing that well. Vinny pointed out to us yesterday that he saw some plays. He felt like he was starting to figure things out, and now all of a sudden he's on the COVID-19 list. So obviously that's a blow to the team just because he's expected to be a big-time player. But what has just been your thoughts on Corey Littleton and then finding out the news that he's on the COVID-19 list?
Corey Littleton's been one of the biggest disappointments for me on this roster, along with Malik Collins. Those were two guys that I thought were going to transform this defense that have done little to nothing, in my opinion. I think the issue with Littleton is a lot what Gunther had to say. He's been in a certain system throughout his whole career, and now he's with a new team and he's being asked to do some things a little bit differently. And he just hasn't been able to catch on and get up to speed with what they're asking him to do. So, you know, maybe when he does come back from the COVID list, maybe take a little bit off his plate, maybe take him off the field on early rundowns. Let's see a little bit more Raekwon Millen and just give him one assignment, just cover somebody. That was supposed to be his strength. Coming over to the Raiders, let him focus on just coverage.
Yeah, and if he gets back in time for the Chiefs game, which will hopefully be the case, that's a big one because you have Travis Kelce, you have Tyreek Hill that's going to be over there. So you want to have him on Travis Kelce and make sure he's controlling that tight end because that's what one of the reasons he was brought in. Again, we're visiting with Evan Grote, Just Pod Baby, talking about the Raiders at the midway point of the 2020 season. Now, if we switch, Evan, to kind of your biggest surprise and biggest concern, you mentioned being disappointed in those two defensive players in Collins and Littleton, but when you look at what you're surprised by, what has gone really well for this team, what sticks out for you above all else?
I think as far as surprises are concerned, there's got to be two. I think number one, Nelson Aguilar, he's been a real pleasant surprise for me. And I think the second thing that really stands out is the play of the offensive line without Trent Brown and Richie Incognito. Now, starting with Aguilar, you know, what a signing he has been after he was let go by the Eagles. They let him walk in free agency, and he and Derek Carr, they clearly have developed a chemistry. There's a high level of trust there. You can just see that. And all I heard about Aguilar last season was, you know, he can't catch the ball, he took too many drops. But what a find he has been. His 5 touchdowns this year, he's leading the team, and he's approaching his career high, which is 8. And that he had in 2017. And one of the things that I find interesting about Aguilar is that he's averaging 20 yards per reception this year, and he never averaged more than 12 before this year. And I think that many fans are surprised by what we're seeing Aguilar do because he's doing what we thought Henry Ruggs was being brought in here to do. So he's been able to add that deep threat dimension that they've so badly needed. And then with the offensive line, you know, I just can't say enough about the job they have done to patch it together without Trent Brown and Incognito. Denzel Good, he's been excellent. Sam Young and Parker, we know they've stepped up at times. And even rookie John Simpson, he's done some really good things as well. But nobody deserves more credit than Tom Cable for what he has been able to do with this offensive line. Just look at last week as a prime example of that. 3 backups in the lineup, and they held it together.
Yeah, they really did. They've done a good job. We've been singing Tom Cable's praises, really, because, I mean, he deserves it, like you mentioned. Going back to the defense real quick and the linebacking position, you mentioned Raekwon McMillan. What do you think the issue is on why he's not getting onto the field?
That's a good question. I think maybe it's they just want to get Littleton more reps. They want to give him an opportunity to kind of come out of the funk that he's been in. You know, we have not seen him. They gave up a pick for McMillan, and he really hasn't gotten much of an opportunity, but that is going to change this week. I think you're going to see a lot more playing time from Nicholas Morrow as well as McMillan, so hopefully he'll add something to this defense.
Again, we're visiting with Evan Grote from Just Pod Baby. And Evan, if we look at some of the bigger concerns, I mean, you talked about two of them, but what other traps could there be for this team heading down the second half of the schedule?
Well, I think the schedule looks good, but again, as I always say, and I don't want to sound like a broken record, but it's a week-to-week league, and we see it every week across the league. There's always a game or two that the team who won the game had no business doing so. And so when you look at the schedule, you have games against teams like the Falcons and the Denver and the Jets. You don't want to overlook these games because these teams are going to are fighting for jobs. Coaches are fighting for jobs and players are fighting for jobs. And you don't want to overlook them because, again, that could a loss here and there, that could be the difference of making the playoffs or not.
It really could be. And, you know, the one thing I'm not concerned about, because I think it's going to work itself out in the wash, but you're looking at the Patriots now and how bad they are, and then you think about the Raiders losing that game to New England. It's like, man, hopefully that game don't come back to bite them in the long run.
Yeah, well, the Patriots were actually playing well at that point in the season when they lost to them. But, yeah, I mean, you look back on that game and you see how the Patriots are playing right now, and that's one that you could go back and look on and you're just going to shake your head about.
Yeah, it's crazy. Now, if we switch it and look at the Broncos, Evan, coming into Las Vegas, Raiders' first home game in 3 weeks. Broncos, you know, they're up and down. They're 3-5. They're having trouble with defense. They have some injuries, of course, offense. Drew Lock, the jury's still out on him. When you look at this matchup, I think it favors the Raiders pretty nicely. When you see it, though, what are you looking at, and what do you think the Raiders need to do in order to get that big win here at home?
Well, like you said, it definitely favors the Raiders. You know, one thing I do worry about when you go into a game like this is, you know, the Broncos have lost some close games, much like the Chargers last week. They've been in some close games. And we saw the Raiders nearly let that game slip away last week. They almost blew an 11-point lead. That concerns me when you have a team like Denver, has been in some games, just not consistent enough to win those. They're going to be fighting to keep their season alive, and they're a young team. Maybe they're not even aware that they're supposed to lose this game. And when you face teams like that, they play hard, and that worries me. So I just, again, I hope the Raiders come out. Don't think about next week game, because, you know, you got a big game with the Chiefs. Think about this week and take care of business.
What are your thoughts on Isaiah Johnson? He made some plays at the end of that game against the Chargers that sealed the deal for the Raiders. Everyone's been talking about him getting onto the field more and more, and I don't think by what John Gruden said earlier this week, you're going to see a ton of Isaiah Johnson. But just what you saw on Sunday against the Chargers, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I did just see on Twitter that Paul Gunther said you're going to see a lot more of Isaiah Johnson.
He said that today, yeah.
Yeah.
My bad, I missed it.
Yeah, it's okay. You know, I'm happy about it because I don't want to pat myself on the back or anything, but I had Isaiah on the podcast over in the spring, and I walked away from that conversation with him, and based on what I had heard about him last year and seen from him, and he was my dark horse candidate to win the starting job across from Trayvon Mullen. Now that didn't happen, but I always felt like he just needed an opportunity, and I think he got it last week, and he made the most of it. I thought he made some really great plays in the game. He did give up a couple slants to Keenan Allen, but overall he held up very well, and I think he showed that he has that big physical body out there, the background of being a receiver in college. He knows how to go up and make plays on the ball, so I think that really showed.
It does, and you know what? He's so good. If you go back and listen to Evan's podcast and then listen to his press conference, he's just so good. The kid is so grounded. When you hear him talk and he's talking about football, he's just a great interview too, so it's always fun. And he was on with Vinny on Monday as well here, so you can listen to the archive up on lvsportsnetwork.com to that one as well. Okay, Evan, give us your prediction. What do you got in this game?
I'm going to say Raiders win. You know, as far as the score, I expect it to be fairly high scoring. Both of these teams can score. I'll say 31-24 Raiders.
31, that's about right. I mean, they've been scoring in the 30s. That sounds about right. All right, well, Evan Grote, what do you got coming up on the podcast on Friday?
This week, I'm going to be, you know, going over the news and notes for the week, and I'm going to ask the question, is Derek Carr playing the best football of his career? And I'm going to take a look at that. I'm going to give some of my opinion on that. And my guest this week is Broncos insider Troy Rink. He's covered the team for a long time, and he's with ABC7 in Denver.
Nice. Troy Rink will be on Just Pod Baby with Evan Grote. Evan, thanks for joining us, man. We will talk to you next week, brother.
All right, guys, look forward to it.
All right, there you go. Evan Grote from Just Pod Baby.